joyful play,
purposeful work,
rugged outdoor living,
our camps and conservation efforts,
teach timeless skills,
and kindle the spirit within.
Farm and wilderness.
Farm and wilderness.
Farm and wilderness.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Farm and Wilderness Podcast. My name is W, and I'm the director of camps and director of Camp Timberlake, but I am not the host for this episode. Since today we're talking about my camp, I needed to bring someone in to sit in the host chair. I'll be back next week when I talk to our director of sustainable resource, Jay, about all things building and so much more. For now, throwing it to my colleague, my good friend, and today's host, Larissa.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Farm and Wilderness Podcast and my first foray into sitting in the interview seat. I'm super excited. My name is Clarissa, and I'm the director at Firefly Song, heading into my third summer in that role. And small side note, if you have not already listened to the Firefly Song episode, feel free to jump over to that one at some point soon. Also, since we're in the midst of summer camp registration, I'd like to also encourage you to listen to the Sam Camp episode that we released last season. Sam is the camp that we will be running at Nineveh this year. And I have to say, having gone up there to serve as a lifeguard when some of my campers were doing a wilderness experience up in the Nineveh area, it is a truly spectacular spot. And we run a unique and cool program up there for campers of all gender, ages 10 to 14. If you're a regular follower here, you may have been wondering, when are we going to hear about Timberlake? Since that is where it all began. And yet, before landing here, we have put out a lot of other episodes on other topics. Episodes about some of our camps, an episode about how to pack for camp, sustainability at F&W, and the wilderness. Why did we not start this whole series with Timberlake? Perhaps that seems like the logical thing to have done. But in truth, to me, it seems more fitting that we have covered so much other territory before circling back to Timberlake. And I think it is metaphorical evidence of how Farm and Wilderness has grown over these last 85 years to choose and root down in our values, to clarify who we are and what matters to us, and to develop programming in all these different areas. So here we are now. It's a classic winter day, lots of snow in Vermont, and W and I have settled down to have a conversation about Timberlake, generally referred to as TL. First, I want to offer a little bit of TL history. I've been thinking a lot about setting and how much we talk about our rustic setting, and the notion of wilderness is foregrounded in so much that we do and talk about. And indeed, we are a rustic and wilderness setting. But of course, these descriptors are all relative. Compared to when the camps began, the grounds of F&W are positively manicured, tamed, polished, comfortable. At least I think so. Others may not agree. In preparation for this interview, as W did before me, I went and did some reading in Susan and Ken Webb's book, Beyond Our Wildest Dreams, and was particularly struck by their descriptions of the land and space when they first arrived, and also my own imaginings of what it has to have been like when they first came upon it. I read a section from the book. Here was an utterly wild and unspoiled area of old farmland and pasture, with woods running down to the water's edge from the dense forest on the steeper slopes. Here was a brimming lake with two isolated coves for swimming, free of any outside intrusion to cramp our style. Here was a variety of unique natural terrain. Boys could run and shout and swim, build shelters and cook themselves sumptuous feasts of bacon and eggs with a few pine needles for flavor. Or they could bake beanhole beans or roast corn in the embers of a fire. I'm going to read another section in which it seems that parents and children actually do sometimes react differently to the setting. This section describes a parent bringing her sons to the camp for the very first time in that very first year. The route was a rough voyage, especially for Mrs. Wynn, a confirmed city dweller. When she finally reached the camp, her already grim impression of this part of the world was confirmed. Ken showed her around the place. "Here's where Bob's cabin is going to be, right here. oh, we'll have to chop out this brush. But when that's done, it's a beautiful location. Looks right down to the waterfront. The waterfront? I haven't seen that. I'd like to. Well, it isn't ready yet. But I want to see it anyway, she insisted. They picked their way down through the deep grass and the brush. Ken made one more effort to turn her off. It'll be down there, he said, pointing from a boulder from which the lake could be seen. But I want to go down and see it. When they had finally struggled through the brush to reach the fringe of alder, Ken parted the brush and pointed out the beautiful cove. We found this section right here to be the best sandy beach around. It's really great. Mrs. Nguyen was unimpressed. Ken learned years later that on the way back up the path, she had taken the boys aside. You boys better return with me, hadn't you? Return? Where? To Brockport. You can't stay at a wild place like this. Wild? Oh, this is great. Just what we dreamt of. Sure, we're staying. To me now, our waterfront seems open, expansive, accessible. But 85 years ago, I am sure that it was a completely different story. Yet, it still appealed to that audience. Of campers, anyway. And beyond that, they were all happy to jump into the work of making the space theirs, as this next section of the book describes. The excitement of setting up a brand new camp led to many work projects during the mornings. Afternoons were free and varied. Short trips, arts and crafts, shop, sports, archery, swimming, work on the fence to keep in the two horses, hayseed and wild oats, and our pony. Anything undertaken at this time, as in the morning, was put through with real joy and gladness, for everyone, including staff, had been infected with the idea that this was something special, that each and every one of us was making history. You would think that with all of the building and creating, we might run out of things to work on. And yet even now, 85 years in, there is always a new building to be built, or something arising that needs repair, or something that can be re-envisioned and improved. This summer, when we had a little more rain than we were anticipating, campers jumped in to build new bridges, to help route and reroute paths that needed changing due to the impact of the rain. This next section of the book that I want to share with you talks a little more about the values and how those began to be embedded in the work and the camps. It seems clear that it was not just the unique wilderness of the lake and high pasture and mountain forest that campers loved, where they could respond to joyous challenge, where they could run wild, repeating ancient ritual. Even more importantly, their parents saw a complex of educational ideals which had found an effective embodiment. These ideals were simplicity, honesty, and lack of pretense, fostering unselfishness, self-discipline, gentleness, compassion, patience, understanding. These were a blending of Quaker testimonies with the deepest convictions of both of us. They seemed, in the opinion of others, to add up to a unique combination. Now, all these years later, Timberlake is one of the biggest farm and wilderness camps, with a little over 100 campers at each three-week session and about 60 staff when you count all of the cabin counselors, leadership staff, cooks, trip staff, nursing, behavioral health team. It serves boys and non-binary campers ages 9 to 14. Campers engage in activities nearly the same as those described above during that first season. Barns and gardens, waterfront, creative arts, work projects, outdoor living skills, and rocks and ropes. All campers will also head out on a wilderness trip at some point. It could be a hiking trip, a canoeing trip, or a rock climbing trip. Like Firefly Song, Timberlake is a great introductory camp for many new families. There are ways in which W and I could not be more different than each other. And yet, there are also striking similarities. Neither of us were F&W campers, and we both landed here a little bit randomly. We both now have double digits of F&W summers behind us. In his case, contiguous summers, not counting the COVID break, which was really not a break for W. And later he'll talk more about his pride in the work he did to keep his camp, to get his camp and others back up and running in the face of and after the pandemic. We share a background in education, both of us having been classroom teachers and having pursued further study in education. Yet his work was focused more on math, mine more on English, mine in regular education, his in special education. Yet, if there is one thing I know from all my years in education, it's that best practices in special education are in fact also best practices in all educational settings, and really any setting where we're working with youth. And this is one of the wonderful things that W brings to his work at Timberlake, and in fact, to his leadership role with all of the camps and camp directors, a focus on routines and systems and how those are important for the success of a camp and the campers and staff within that community. I would be remiss if I did not also mention Atlas. W's gorgeous. We do avoid commenting on people's bodies and appearances at Farm and Wilderness, but I feel I can make an exception for Atlas. She's a gorgeous Samoyed, and she's also in the room with us, and you might hear her at times during our conversation. I am so lucky to have W as a colleague and also to be sharing the work of directing these two separate but closely associated camps. As you will have heard if you listen to the Firefly Song episode, FS was started to serve the siblings of the boys at TL. And even now, every summer, we have a healthy number of siblings attending our two camps. As we look to the next few summers, we are both incredibly excited to think about the ways we collaborate, new ventures we might embark on, as well as the different things that we offer to campers, due to the fact that we have each remained, after all these years, spaces in which we do retain our commitment to offering a space for girls and non-binary campers, and in the case of TL, a space for boys and non-binary campers. Without further ado, here I give you my conversation with W. Good afternoon. This is a very cool situation. It's kind of like a cabin switch or something. I'm looking forward to talking to you, W. So let's start with the basics. Tell me a little bit about who you are and how you ended up at Farm and Wilderness.
It is weird to be on this side of it. And I have to say, a bit of my type A letting go of my show. But I can't imagine handing it off to anyone else better than you right in this moment. So I am excited to have this convo. For those that know me, my name is W. I use he, him pronouns. And I did not go to Farm and Wilderness, did not go to Timberlake as a camper. And in fact, I found Timberlake kind of randomly. I was in college in Los Angeles at USC. And I was looking for a summer job, and this was at the very bottom of like a job listserv, like the second to last link or something. I was kind of like, why not? Like, let's see what it is. I'd never been camping. I'd never done a ton of outdoor stuff. I grew up in Texas, like very different camps down there, like vacation Bible school sort of camps, very different. And so I just took a leap of faith and was like, why not? And I went and bought like the gear I thought I needed. I ended up buying like a kid's backpack because I didn't know any better, and went. And that first night was just so dark, and it was so quiet, so weird. And why are these people holding hands? Does it circle up all the time? And like, why are we singing these songs? And I ended up really falling in love with the community and the intentionality of it in a way that I felt like I'd never really experienced until that point. And, you know, we joke as directors, you more farm and more wilderness. And my running joke is I'm neither, I'm the ampersand. And that's like what attracted me, is not so much the hiking or outdoorsy stuff. I wouldn't call myself outdoorsy now, but more just like, oh, this is like a glimpse of like what life could be in a kind of a really great way. And that was in 2007. I was a counselor for a while, became leadership at camp. And camp was always my like summer balance to life in Los Angeles, and then again in New York City before relocating up here during the pandemic. And I'm a full year-round staff now. I've been director since 2019, and it's been quite a ride. And I think if you had asked me way back in 2007 if I would be able to picture myself still here, I would have said you were crazy and like no way that I'd still be around. And here I am. And it is still a magical, joyful place. It's different than like 18, 19 year old me, but it's still pretty great.
So what I would like to know briefly is At what point did you begin to see that being the director might be something you were interested in? I think that one of the things that we see with our staff members, both of us, is people who come in for a year and, you know, or come in as a first-time person and maybe think they're going to come back and maybe, you know, end up staying for a few years and then go on. But then there's these people who occasionally who come in and they're like, I want to be you. Like, they're saying this to me. I want to be you someday. I want to be a director. And, you know, at some point you must have begun to see that as a possibility and felt, yeah, I can see this trajectory. And as an institution, we care a lot about growing people. And we'll talk a little bit more later about the notion of impact. But we care a lot about not necessarily just being a one summer thing for campers or staff. Growth happens over time. So somewhere in there, you saw something that made you think big.
Yeah. I mean, it's so strange to think about that. And we talked a bit about this when I was interviewing you in a way that like I never pictured or could imagine it. And I think part of that was I never quite felt like I had the skill sets, right? I couldn't play the guitar, wasn't really a hiker. I didn't really like taking care of the farm animals. So I didn't really have like those skill sets. And, you know, for so much of my time, it was Tullio Browning and it was his camp and he was there for years and years and years. And it was hard, honestly, for anyone to picture kind of post Tullio because he just was and is such an institution. And it was really in Tullio's later years when I was kind of guest starring, kind of an assistant director, was an assistant director, and Tullio's kind of idea that he might be stepping aside started to come up and start to be known. And I started to get the questions of like, is it something that you're interested in? Is it something you wanted? And there's a long time where I was like, no, I don't. And I think that at the time I was up in my trajectory in New York City of like teaching and on that track to do administration stuff and things like that. And I think it was a combination of folks saying like, this is something I think you could do. Tullio saying, I think this is something you could do. My kind of love of the place and frankly, New York City, not necessarily reducing the opportunities or feeling like doors are being closed, but it felt like one of those times in my life where like, oh, I could do this. I could teach for a little bit and be a director. And I think a thing I like most about this job is honestly the complexity of it. I like on a given day, and you and I sit and, you know, complain about this on like the deck at the end of the day during the summer when we're both tired, right? But the thing I love is like, okay, what am I going to get into today, right? What am I going to do to like help the kitchen figure out their menu or like this trip, like forgot, I don't know, they're like, chocolate for their s'mores. And so how are we going to get it out to them? Or these kids are having a disagreement in their cabin or like, I don't know, we're out of art supplies and I need to get a run to town to get stuff. I think there's so many things that could be thrown your way as a director. And that's like really exciting and really great. And it feels good both to be able to say like, oh, I can do this, but also help staff figure out like you can do this too.
I love a multi-layered complex workplace with all sorts of different options. So I think I alluded to this before. I'm going to talk a little bit about the notion of impact. You know, I think we think about camp as being fun. You know, camp is summer. Summer is fun. Camp is not school. Kids are coming to play and be outside and do something different and have time that is, you know, potentially a little less structured than their daily lives. But at the same time, we at Farm and Wilderness are thinking a lot about the notion of impact and what are we doing that is growing good humans and making a difference in kids and staff lives. So can you talk a little bit about how you think about that notion of impact, what it means at Timberlake for you?
Yeah, I love this question because you and I are both educators, right? We've seen classrooms and camp is not a classroom. There are certainly overlaps, but it's different. And I think going back to this idea of being attracted to the intentionality of the community, I really think a lot about the like deeper version of fun, of it being joyful, right? And like, yeah, there's totally space for just pure fun. The like pranks, the silly songs, the like weirdness that is like middle schoolers, love all of that. So I think, you know, when I think of the impact that all summer camps have, but I think Farmer Wilderness camps and Timberlake, us, our camps together, is this notion that kids can learn to live in community and live in a low competition environment and learn to like do chores and learn to look out for each other. And you and I both get so many stories from families where like my kid came home and is now doing dishes, right? Or they seem kinder or they seem more sure of themselves. And I think there's something unique about the power of summer camp to take a kid out of the environment they know, out of the friends they probably know, out of the all the things, and throw them into place of, frankly, a little bit of discomfort, right? It might be a little cold, their feet might be a little wet, but they're doing these incredible experiences that they wouldn't be open to unless there is that little bit of like, oh, this is new and I need to do something, you know, to make it work. I need to sink or swim. And so I think our impact is we can grow kids by taking them out of things they might not know anything about and have them try new things and have them challenge themselves in a place that isn't going to make fun of them if they fail, isn't going to like force them to be weirdly competitive through like color wars, to be like, okay, that didn't work for you yet. Like, let's try it again, right? Or you're not ready to try it again. Let's go do something else. I think there's a uniqueness to our approach at Farm and Wilderness that is that joy, that impact, that growth, and that we want our kids to leave, yes, with you had a great time, but also you felt like, oh snap, like I can do something or I can be something more than I thought I could just 3 weeks ago.
I was interviewing a returning staff person this morning. So I always feel like those are conversations, not interviews, when a staff wants to come back for a second year. And I don't have a set of questions, but I just, you know, ask some things that are of interest to me. And she has been a first year college student this year. And so I said to her, tell me what's been surprising or something you didn't anticipate about college. And she thought, and she said, you know, I didn't expect so many people to be unfamiliar with communal living. And then she launched into talking about camp and how at camp, our community is a very central part and, you know, just we take it for granted at some level. And I think she got to college and, you know, she's in a residential setting, you know, dormitory, things like that. And she found that it was other people did not come with the same experience that she had coming out of her camp experience.
I love that. And we're in such like, you know, we are Americans where there's such a focus on like individuality, right? So to be able to go to a space that feels a little countercultural, feels a little hippie because, oh snap, more things matter than just me. The actions I take or the words I say have impact on others. And I should be thoughtful of that. Like there's nothing we need more of now than that sort of thing. And I connect this a bit to like the annoyances I have when I'm like driving down the road or like someone doesn't hold the door or like someone walks in the elevator and I'm trying to walk out. These little things that when everyone's looking out for themselves versus at camp, like you honestly can't afford not to. Because it is in your face that like you either are part of this community and doing something to support it or not. And if you're not, you're not going to do well here and you're not really going to make friends. And I think lastly, like you and I both work mostly with middle schoolers and that is such a self-absorbed time of life. Love them. They're messy, amazing, wonderful, but it's all about them. And so to put them in a place where like, it's not actually all about you right now, I think is part of our magic.
Yeah. And you're also, of course, reminding me of one of my camp outcomes. And I know this is an interview about Timberlake, but I just want to articulate that one of my camp outcomes, and I think really a broader Farm and Wilderness outcome, is interdependence. And we are a community, both within our camp communities and across our Farm and Wilderness community, that thinks very much about interdependence. And you haven't said that word, but you have just really been, I believe, speaking to the notion of interdependence as you unfolded the notion of impact as well. I don't know. Do you want to tell me just or tell us and our listeners briefly what your three outcomes are? I wonder if maybe you have one that is related to interdependence and I'm embarrassed that I can't remember your outcomes.
Yeah. I mean, so this last word, I'll actually start there, is interconnectedness and interdependence. I haven't quite landed on which one, but it's something. And I actually think there's something really great about us having a very similar word together. There's something really meta about we're interdependent, our two camps, and with all the other camps, but also we have this word together. So our three outcomes are agency, sincerity, and interconnectedness or interdependence, right? And I make a joke that like agency by itself especially with a mostly like young male population, like we don't need more young men who just think they can do whatever they want to, right? Or they're capable of everything, right? Society tells them that yes, they can do those things. We don't need more Elon Musks who are just like, I'm gonna do whatever I want because I have that agency, right? But I think it is important for kids to learn more the social aspect of that and what is the impact of taking agency and what is it mean to take agency in such a way where you are both like growing yourself, but seeking to grow others. And I think that's where it's so connected to the, actually the second outcome of sincerity, right? Agency without sincerity, honestly, it's just being a jerk, right? You're looking out for just yourself. And I want my kids to feel confident and have great self-esteem and understand their limits. And that's that agency piece. But the sincerity piece is really forcing kids to not be cynical, sarcastic, put on airs, be fake, and instead about it's okay to want something and go after something and think about the emotions or feelings you have from that. It is okay to like hug your best friend, even though you're both guys. It is okay to talk about your emotions, or it's okay to be tired. Like, I think it's that second one is so connected to our maleness and trying to work against this thing that society says that men need to be stoic and unfeeling and uncaring, right? Like, nah, like you can be thoughtful and emotional. And I think that is wonderful. And then lastly, both of those lead into this idea that you are not, again, going, you know, talking about mostly males, you are not a man on your own island, right? There's no part of society or anything at all where you are simply on your own and that you can take actions that does not have impacts of some sort on others. When I think of, frankly, other outcomes and kind of your outcomes, I think there's this, I love the idea of empowerment for you. My boys don't need that. They're already plenty empowered, right? In fact, what they need is to learn how to like be sincere about what they want, not be snarky, all those sort of things, and know that like they have a responsibility to recognize their inner dependence. And I think these things don't come out of just lecturing to our kids. I think it comes out of just the space they live in, the counselors we hire, just that they are at camp. Because if we just lecture these things to them, they're middle schoolers, they're not going to listen. But by nature of them doing chores and cheering each other and all that, they are learning to do these things.
Thank you.
I love this stuff. I'll talk about this all day.
I know. It's great. I'm thinking about that outcome of yours, sincerity, which I love. I love this notion of sincerity as something that you are thinking about deliberately and intentionally. And you've already begun talking about your camp as a place that is for boys and non-binary campers, youths, middle school age type kids. And I just want to see if there's other things you want to say about what it means to offer that space, you know, what it means sort of globally and what it means at Farm and Wilderness. Because we, of course, as an institution, are making intentional decisions about having a variety of options for people, you know, for folks who might want an all gender space. Saltash Mountain, SAM Camp is a really great option. And they, you know, mirror the age range, but have a very different program up there that is going to appeal to certain kinds of kids, and the gender piece will appeal to certain kinds of kids. But yeah, tell me more about, you know, what it means to offer this space.
Yeah. I get this question from families sometimes of like, why does this still exist, right? Why is there a single gender space? And, you know, it is strange in the context of like boys and non-binary campers, mostly male space, to think they don't need their own space. There's plenty of spaces where like men are by themselves in those spaces, right? Society has just allowed that to happen. And I think actually there's something really profound still to have young boys, young men, non-binary campers be in a space together and really grapple with what does it mean to be a man, a boy, a guy in society right now, and do it in a place where there is not the pressures that can sometimes come from being in an all gender space, right? I think of the pressures either, you know, are you know, are you going to date someone or not? That is a little bit more prevalent in those spaces. So I actually think there's a case to be made for the Timberlake version of boys, young men, non-binary campers being by themselves in a mostly masculine male space because of a pretty key difference from other mostly male spaces. And that is this idea of competition versus collaboration. And we are a very low competition environment. And so often young boys and young men are put in competitive spaces, right? Whether it is through, you know, you need to be really good at sports, so you really need to achieve, or there needs to be a pecking order of some sort or whatever. We are a place where there is not formal sports, right? There's not color wars. It is a place for, yes, physicality. Like we're on this big old hill and they're swinging axes and they're swinging around a lake or swimming around a lake, but there's not that intense need to feel like they have to compete. I have families who say like, this is really great to have a space for my non-binary kid, my son, to go and be around other young men and see the expansiveness of what is possible with masculinity, right? That it is not just either kind of the football player view or whatever, right? Here are all the different options. And I think too, you know, we're both educators in education space. There's not always a ton of men in the position of teachers. And so to have a space where you're going to see all of these educators that are men and non-binary and young men who are like cooks and they're teaching how to build fires and they're teaching how to do like really amazing pottery and they're showing how to like love and care for like a really delicate animal, I think is pretty great and pretty amazing. And I think it's just this space to talk about gender, talk about masculinity that isn't just in a classroom talking about theoretically. It really is rooted again in that audacity and sincerity. Who do you want to be, right? And here's all these role models that you can choose from. Hopefully you find one of them and we're not going to pit you against each other. Y'all get to figure it out together. And I love that notion. And lastly, the math part of my brain is we spend, for most of us, right, the majority of our lives in mixed gender spaces. And so to have just a couple of weeks, 3 weeks away in this other space, I think it's fine, right? And, you know, there are still single gender schools out there and they do wonderful work. To your point, it's not for everyone. And I think families really should look at, is it Sam Camp? Is it Timberlake? What does it mean? And what does your camper want from their experience? And some campers do want the all gender space. I think I would have wanted the all gender space as a kid myself. And so I think there's power to Farm Wilderness being able to offer both of these opportunities for whatever a family might want.
Yeah, I love that. Fun fact, I direct a camp for girls and non-binary youth. So I spend my summers with a lot of female identified and non-binary people, and I don't have girls. I am the mother of two boys, and I have very few regrets in this life. I have had a really fun career, and this is my, you know, my next fun step being a camp director, but I really regret that my kids did not go to Timberlake. My kids are pretty sportsy. They've been in a lot of competitive situations and that's been cool. But I also want for them to have had this, what you are offering at Timberlake. And so, you know, it's not over yet because, you know, my kids could still come and work at Timberlake. And one of my kids has been at Tamarack Farm. But I, you know, as the parent of a couple of male identified children, I really appreciate what is on offer and wish that they had had that. But I, you know, they were at the camp age at the time I was, you know, doing other things. So I didn't really think about it, but now that I'm in the thick of it, I love it. Thank you. Let's talk a little bit about campers and what type of camper do you feel like does well at Timberlake?
Yeah. You and I have had so many conversations about this. And I think that for campers to do well, I think it's campers who are open to trying something new, whether it's meeting new friends or trying new food or trying new experiences. And I think it's campers who are willing and able to live in community in some way, right? So we're not necessarily a great space for kids who are like super on their own all the time, right? Even though we certainly have quieter kids who like read books the whole time and we love those kids. And I have louder kids who just run around all day. I love those guys too. I love those kids. But I think we're really good for kids who are wanting to try something new, willing to like tiptoe out of their comfort zone, but also they don't need to necessarily like be in love with the woods in order to get that from us. Right. I think those are the two fundamental aspects, and whether they are into hiking or not, it's a benefit if they're into hiking, but they don't have to love hiking to like love Timberlake. They don't have to love getting in the water to love Timberlake. And I think the power of both of our size camps is there's so much choice and agency that kids can find their niche somewhere at Timberlake, whether it is they do arts all day or they swing axes and build fires all day or they build buildings all day, like they will find a spot somewhere. And, you know, we have space for a bit of the rough and tumble that is middle school boyhood, right? Like our campers are trying to figure out what does it mean to like grow into their bodies and what does it mean to be physical, like movement and things or not. And so I think we're also a space where like it is okay for them to be a little mischievous, right? Like we're keeping an eye on that. It's not going to get too crazy. But sometimes that's also sort of the magic, is a little bit of mischief at camp, right? I think we're a space where, because of the nature of like our staff, really, and having so many staff who most of them themselves are boys, understand that kind of like balance you're trying to find of mischief magic and like thoughtful, silly wonderfulness and all that kind of combined. And so I think we're good for many, many, many campers. I think lastly, I'd say too, we're good for campers who have like a curiosity about something, right? I think campers who maybe struggle to like get excited about anything might struggle with us a little bit because they have to go do something, right? But I think for kids who are wondering what they could do, curious about something new, they don't have to be the loudest necessarily, but just like, okay, like they are willing to like try something new are the ones that ultimately do best with us. Not necessarily the most competitive or like most alpha or things like that, although we certainly have some of those kids. I think it's really the ones that are curious to new adventures.
Yeah. You've mentioned this, and I just want to, you know, kind of not highlight it, but articulate it again as I head into the next question. You, alongside with Firefly Song, are, you know, we are the biggest two camps, and that offers us something. You know, we are both have over 100 campers and quite a lot of staff. And you are also the original Farm and Wilderness camp, and we'll come to that in a couple minutes. But can you just talk a tiny bit about how you support campers to succeed at Timberlake? And I think, I mean, one of the answers, I think you've already given me one answer, which is that there's a lot of choice. That is a support model. Lots of choice is a support. But are there other things that you would say about what support looks like at Timberlake?
So much of the support systems at Timberlake we've had for years now, I inherited a lot of them from the director before me. But I used to be a teacher and I used to be a special educator. And I bring that perspective of the world, right? That behavior is communicating something, maybe not what you think it is, and that we need to kind of support and figure out what that means. Like that has really grounded my approach to supporting campers. And I want to be a space for kids to have those wonderful, weird, silly moments. I want the midnight hikes, and I want them to do the like little prank they do on each other. Or I want them to go on the hike they didn't think they could do, or I want them to swim around the lake. But I think all of that is on a foundation of strong routines and rituals in their cabins. And so we really build into our program, all right, counselors, what is your wake up routine? What is your bedtime routine? What is your mealtime routine when y'all are eating as a cabin? And, you know, we actually read books to all of our campers, even the 14-year-olds. And the 14-year-olds probably wouldn't say they love it, but they ask for it if we don't do it. And that tells me, okay, y'all still want that. You still want to know that you are held. I think that focus on routines combined with a really high ratio, staff to camper ratio that we both have, with this specific position of lodge directors that both of us have, that is the main communication between family and their kids, because those are the folks who are walking through cabins every morning when kids are waking up, walking through them when they're going to bed. They're meeting daily to talk about behavioral things. Like we are just constantly looking out for how are kids doing? Are there some that aren't like connecting with others? There's some that are off their own. There's some still homesick. And what can we be doing to support them? We never, ever use the phrase like boys will be boys, right? Or like, that's just boys. That's actually not really in our vocabulary, because there's a line that our campers have to figure out not to cross or to cross. Or if they do cross it, which they sometimes do, right? We are there to like pick them up, redirect them, have it be a restorative kind of process rather than something punitive. I think lastly, we both of our camps spend a lot of time training our counselors, right? We have almost 3 weeks of training, and that training is covering basic behavior management. It's covering how to build routines. It's also covering like how to have really fun programming, right? And sometimes supporting campers to what, you know, you mentioned earlier, just have really strong programming, right? And have really silly, wonderful, weird moments of like running games, or let's have, oh, I don't know. Let's have a really great like midnight hike, or let's hike to the top of the ridge and paint what we see, or let's go like make up stories about the bunnies and have like a bunny like show that we're going to do, or let's do a fashion show. Just all those choices do allow our kids to find something that they like. And so I think ultimately it comes down to like seeing kids. And I think Farmer Wilderness does a really good job because of our systems and our ratios, right? It's not dependent on just like having that one superstar counselor. We have a lot of really great counselors, and they're supported by really strong systems that have been honed over these many, many years.
Speaking of many, many years, you are going to be 85 in 2 years. Tell yes. me more about that, old man. Timberlake's going to be 85 in the summer of 2026, if I'm doing my math right.
You're not doing your math right. It's this year.
I'm not? I'm getting it wrong? It's this year? You're going to be 85 this year? Okay, so sorry. I'm really good at math. I swear I am. 85. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about like what do we still do that we did 85 years ago? Like, what do you hold on to that's like, this was so good, we are still doing it? And what's new? And how are we going to celebrate?
Yeah. So, I joke at camp. I'm not an old man. If I was, I'd have a really great, like, doctor, right? Like, but I'm certainly, like, camp old in that, like, I've been around long enough where my former campers have worked for me, and my former campers, they've worked for me. So I am kind of this, like, camp grandpa kind of thing. And it's that funny thing where, like, you know, once you become an adult at camp, the counselors just feel like they keep getting younger, right? Like, they're always 17 or 18, and I'm not 17 or 18 anymore. But I think this idea of like 85 years, and I love reading Beyond Our Wildest Dreams and thinking about that very first summer where they were like building their cabins because they didn't like have them built yet, right? They were figuring out what they were going to do. We still build things at Timberlake, right? We just finished last summer. We built this incredible pavilion. One of our campers did it, going for a Pathfinder. We did, you know, a barn before that. We are still building things. And I get so many questions from alumni or wonderings about like, is Timberlake the Timberlake I remember? And when I hear that, because there's this coded, is it what I remember? Is it still like, frankly, badass? Right. I think that is like this underlying question. And my answer, like, resoundingly is like, yes. Right. Everything I just said about like routines and rituals, we probably didn't have 50 years ago. In fact, I'm 86% sure we did not have a lot of those things in place. It was a little more rough and tumble. And like, there are good parts and bad parts. The rough and tumble meant that like kids weren't seen in the way they are. Like, that has changed. I think we are more open and kinder to our kids, but we're no less like pushing them to be them best, their best selves, and to try new things, right? Kids are still doing all the skills that my alumni remember that we've been doing for 85 years, right? They're still swimming that almost 3 miles around the entire lake. They are still learning to chop down trees. Just now we like ask them how they feel about it and what is the like environmental impact of chopping down that tree. And they're still building bonfires that like are way too big, but they love the massive bonfires, like awesome. And they are still like learning like plant identification and what does it mean to like milk a goat or to like get eggs from a chicken or what does it mean to make pottery or things like that. We still have ratings, which is our achievement system, right? And I think that really helps middle school kids figure out, do you want to go for like the beginner rating, the intermediate? And we still celebrate the achievements of those ratings, like my alumni remember. We still have silly irreverence, right? We're still singing these incredible songs that we've been doing for years and years, but with some new ones, right? We're still singing Wagon Wheel and things like that, and Space Oddity, which is such a weird song to sing at camp, but like we love it. But we also like love Natasha Bedingfield's like Unwritten, right? And we're singing a little bit of like TLC. We have some Britney Spears. We have some Backstreet Boys, right? It is this mix of old and new that I think is really great.
Are you singing Taylor Swift? I mean, we're singing Taylor Swift. Are you singing Taylor Swift?
We are singing Taylor Swift. And I'm so proud about how excited our kids get, because they will go the weirdest lineup, right? We'll start with like Space Oddity, and then we'll go to like Taylor Swift, and then we'll end with like, I don't know. It could be Natasha Bedingfield's Unwritten, or it could be Backstreet Boys, or it could be like Country Roads, right? Or it could be You Be Illin', right? Or things like that, that are like a combination of what I think my alumni remember and what we are now. I think a thing that I think about a lot as I think about the next 85 years is continuing to do these epic things that Timberlake is doing, right? But I actually think more and more, and you and I started to have these conversations of what does it mean to think about sustainability in our camps? And what does it mean to be thinking about the long-term future of Timberlake and Farmer Wilderness, particularly Timberlake? I see my role as director as really caretaking a space. I'm caretaking this thing that means so much to so many people for the person who comes after me. And I have a duty, a right, an urgency to think, okay, what cabins need to start being replaced? Or what am I going to do about heat mitigation long-term, right? Or what am I going to do about making sure our lake is always available for our kids? In addition to like, we still play Spy Night, we're still going to play Spy Night, right? Which is a question I get a lot too. And so I think, what does it mean to set Timberlake up for the next 85 years, infrastructure-wise, but also with these emerging questioning of what does it mean to be male and masculine in America right now, right? And, you know, I've talked about this a little bit already, but it just, that is a difference. I think Timberlake is having these conversations that maybe it didn't in 20, 30, 40 years ago, because society wasn't having those discussions. And I think a lot about what does it mean for Timberlake to be the anti-Andrew Tate? What does it mean for Timberlake to put a stake in the ground for how young men and boys could be forces for goodness in the world, right? What does it mean to be sure of your strength and sure of your emotional strength, right? These two kind of things combined. And so I'm so excited for what the next 85 years are going to like hold for us. And you ask like, how are we celebrating? Probably less like big parties, right? It's not the 75th, which I went to and it was great. We had big parties, and the 100th is coming up, that, you know, that'll be cool. That's a while from now. I'll probably come back and visit for that. I think actually, you know, it's about this year, we're going to be celebrating the 85th by collecting stories and asking our alumni and our families and our campers to share their stories with us of how Camp Timberlake has impacted them and changed them throughout the years, and making podcasts about them, sharing them on Instagram and TikTok, and making blogs. I'd like to do some like city tours, right? I'd love to get, who are the guys in Philly who want to talk about camp? Let's all like get around a campfire and like, honestly, just like, you know, shoot the stuff for a bit, and like what stories will come out of that. But also, I think going back to the caretaker thing, like how can I record these things before they're gone, right? How can I make sure that like what the stories of Timberlake, all aspects of the stories of Timberlake are still like cared for and caretaked? And, you know, we don't have Jack Hunter doing that anymore. It's been a few years since he's passed. And so I am very much feeling with this 85th, how can I capture all of these things before they're gone? And lastly, like I really want, you know, we have guest stars on staff, and those are the staff who come not for the whole summer. They come for like 3 days or 5 days or a week. So I'd love more alumni from 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years ago or more to come guest star for a few days, right? If you are really great with plant identification, come like do that for a couple of days with our kids, right? Or if you like a really great storyteller, or like we had a guy come who was like a circus guy, and he came into circus like skills with our kids like 10 years ago. So like really wanting alumni to come through, share their stories and share what Timberlake has meant for them. That's how I want to celebrate that we're a place of stories and experiences.
I love it. And I figured out what my math problem was. I'm thinking about 1941 as the beginning, because that's when Firefly's song began. It was 41, but of course you were 1939. There's the math. I had it in me. What do you want to be remembered for as a director, besides your beautiful dog, Atlas?
I appreciate that. And I appreciate our listeners. You've probably heard her at the beginning, and now we finally put her outside in the snow.
She's a little participatory, that dog.
She's a snow dog, so she's loving it. You know, it's so funny because I like wrote this question, and I think about legacy a lot, and I think about caretaking. Like, this has been a part of my life. And I think so much of how my current way of running Timberlake is so connected to the directors that came before me. I was there with Tulio in his early years and helped build some of the systems I'm in using now. And I remember Chris Lord before him, he was my first director. And you know, directors are held up in this like sometimes weird mythical status, right? By campers and staff. Cause I remember holding the directors in that weird mythical status. And so it's odd and humbling and embarrassing to like know that that is, you know, how I'm sort of held in some ways by some parts. But I think I want to be most remembered for making Timberlake a like kinder and more open place, and a place that is still thinking about traditions but not being bound by them, and that I helped kind of navigate the pressures of like changing things or not, or help, what does it mean to like be really thoughtful, the songs we sing, that I helped kind of navigate these things. I think that's thing one. I think two more things. Second thing is that like, I really focused a lot on staff and building staff and really pushing Timberlake and Farm Wilderness to think of our programming as 4 to 24, right? That like the work with our 17, 18, 19, 20 year olds is so essential and is about, you know, we're often their first job. What does it mean to be a good boss? What does it mean to teach them to do those things? And so that I put a lot of intentionality and focus towards our staff. And so many of my changes were actually on the staff level. So campers don't see that, but staff certainly do, and they certainly feel it.
And that's the thing I see right now in my interviewing of returning staff. Again, conversations with returning staff, I get to hear about the impact camp is having on them. I mean, in the summer, we think about the campers, but at this time of year, when one of the primary responsibilities of directors is to hire our staff for the summer, I get to see in my conversations with staff their excitement about camp and the ways camp has impacted them. And it's really powerful. And I think all of us directors owe that to you in part as our fearless leader, you know, the man, the myth, the leader. W is helping all of us directors think about staff recruitment, staff retention, staff support and training. And that has been a huge benefit for all of us that then trickles down to campers too.
Really appreciate that.
I interrupted you. Carry on.
No, I appreciate that. I'll blush a little bit. The last thing, this is less like highfalutin as the first two. I don't know if you remembered for navigating COVID, right? Like it's hard to really, I joke with some of my staff who were there at the time, Jason Cohn and Thad Gibson, around like, I feel like I've blacked out those tricky, tricky times. But to navigate, you know, we called it Special Edition Summer for a reason, because we had to rethink programming and have this thing feel like Timberlake. But it wasn't, because we couldn't hold hands and we couldn't sing inside and our oldest ones couldn't hang out with the younger ones and all these things that we took for granted. And there are those moments during COVID where like, you know, these moments like, I don't want to do this, or I don't think I can do this. And in some ways being like, it's me. Like I'm the one to like help guide this organization, this, you know, Timberlake, and by extension, helping F&W go through it. And I'm still certainly feeling the effects of COVID, as so many of us are, but that like summer of reopening, and that like, you know, we ran, you know, for some of our alumni who might be listening, we ran like the Timberlake Day. We ran two separate days at once. We had six meal settings, right? We called them universes, right? A universe that was 1 hour off the other. So we had to like come up with a new bell system, and we had to think about like traffic flow of kids going through spaces. And it was tough and like, not, you know, not everyone loved what we did. Some people loved what we did, right? It, you know, there's always the spectrum there, but just like, you know, we survived it. I got us through it. And, you know, it's setting us up for like what's next. Cause I think that more than any other thing I can remember under previous directors really forced all of us at Farm and Wilderness, and particularly directors, to really think, what is most important to us? What are we willing to give up? What are we willing to modify? And how can I have my community trust that the modifications are just for special edition summer and that it's not actually messing with the timber lake they love? It's just a different version of it. And so I made it through. And shout out to my staff for that summer, because man, it was brutal.
Yeah. Good to be out the other side of that. What else do you want listeners to know? Anything you want to close out with?
I think that for folks who are already like on board with the timber lake, I'm so glad you're listening to this podcast. Thanks for listening to the future episodes. Shameless plug. That's one. Two, if you are considering timber lake or Farm and Wilderness, like, I hope you continue to like look into us, look at all of our YouTube stuff, look at the other podcasts, like really like research us, because we know that we are caretaking other people's children, right? Like we are centered in that so much that like, these are other people's kids that we are being trusted to care for. And that is something that we really take. And lastly, if you are an alumni listening to this and wondering like, how's Timber Lake doing? Timber Lake's great. We're doing fine. Kids are learning skills. I've talked about it. It's going to be great. And like, come visit us, come hang out, come see us, come relive your moments. Please like continue to be a part of us in kind of all the ways. And lastly, I just do want to shout out the rest of the director group, and you included. I really loved and enjoyed our partnership, right? Timber Lake and FS have like a, you know, a storied history together, right? You can't actually pull us apart when you look at our history, and our collaborative relationship working together like is helpful for the org generally. And so I'm really appreciative to like the work you and I are continuing to do. I also like our like long conversations of chatting, and I like our disagreements too, because it keeps us both sharp in like the best ways. But also just letting listeners know that this is one of the like strongest group of directors I've ever seen at Farm and Wilderness, and like our year-round staff are incredibly strong. And that I do think that Farm and Wilderness is on the edge of like, either we're in the midst of or on the edge of like some pretty amazing like golden years, and that F&W has certainly been thrown some challenges, but like, we are up to it, and this summer is going to be the best one yet.
It is. It absolutely is. Thank you so much for talking to me. Super fun.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. This is strange to be on this side of it, but I've loved it. And I think you're a great host. Well done. Don't quit your day job, because I like working with you, but this has been great.
I can add more things to my plate always. That's how we do it at Farm and Wilderness.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. All right.
Win.
That was good.
And that was Clarissa's conversation with me. If you'd like to register, apply for a job at, or just learn more, check out farmandwilderness.org. We're on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, this podcast, so many places. Thanks to our guest host, Clarissa. Original music by Emmett Powers. Recording and editing done by myself. Thanks to everyone at Farm and Wilderness who helped make our summers possible. Our camp vocabulary word from today comes from Timberlake. Chorelorn. Chorelorn is the prophet of chores who campers keep happy through cleaning camp at a minimum once a week. Chorelorn makes semi-frequent appearances to inspire chores or during all camp games, often with chanting, fire, and Bartholomew, his trademark ceremonial skull. How else do you think we get middle school boys excited to clean? With that, remember, camp magic is real, y'all. Until next time.